स्थापकाय च धर्मस्य सर्वधर्मस्वरूपिणे अवतार वरिष्ठाय रामकृष्णाय ते नमः। माय हम्बल प्रणाम्स एट द फीट ऑफ रिवर्ड गीता प्रणव माताजी एंड सीनियर सन्यासिनीज एंड माय हार्टफेल्ट प्रणाम्स टू द इटर्नल infinite Lord residing in all of you. When Ramakrishna's dearest disciple, Swami Vivekananda, was requested by others to write about his guru, Sri Ramakrishna, he answered, "I may surf the ocean, crush the mountains, but writing about Sri Ramakrishna, impossible." However, we see that out of intense devotion, he did compose the famous Vesper service, which is sung all over the world every evening. There, he mentions Thakur as Jyotir Jyoti. "Salutations to thee, O Lord, thou art beyond words and minds." We know it was the life of a world teacher, a world mover, in whom the least remnant of sensate humanity had been turned into pure divinity. Christopher Isherwood begins his book, The Life of Sri Ramakrishna, by stating that this is the story of a phenomenon. So now how can we, or how can I, an insignificant being, speak on his life? So here, I have collected a few practical tips from his teachings which will enable us to progress steadily in our spiritual journey. The life of Sri Ramakrishna is a spiritual laboratory wherein he demonstrated the eternal truths of the scriptures. Since he used to remain merged in samadhi for most part of the day, the devotees feel it was impossible for them to be like him. Swamiji preached those lofty ideas, those profound truths throughout the length and the breadth of the universe. But not many possess his gigantic intellect, his exceptional intellect. Hence, to be like him is also not possible for common people like us. Whereas in Holy Mother, we find a very simple, extraordinarily ordinary life. Hence, many of us feel it is easy to make Holy Mother our ideal. But the more I contemplate on the life of Sri Ramakrishna, the more convinced I become that he was more practical than anyone else. Though he used to remain immersed in samadhi for most part of the day, he was at the same time very practical. In fact, in the life of Vivekananda, we see that it at times would be carried away due to his intense love for humanity and think of selling Belur Math, but never ever Sri Ramakrishna and Holy Mother. A total balanced personality combined with intense practicality. Swami Vivekananda states that any fool can achieve great things at one time or another, but the character of a person, which is the foundation of spiritual life, the pillar of spiritual life, is known by seeing him perform the most common actions, the day-to-day actions, with perfection. So Sri Ramakrishna taught the devotees how to be practical in day-to-day life. Though these things may seem very trivial to many of us, it is extremely difficult for us to make spiritual progress if one is careless and unmindful in small matters. A person has to reach God with the help of this mind. And how is this mind? Studies show that it can be bombarded with at least 50 thoughts per minute, and this amounts to a whopping 50,000 thoughts in a day. Hence, proper control of the mind is of our prime necessity. So there should not be at least a little insincerity or inadvertence. In this smart age, Sri Ramakrishna believed in smart work and smart shopping. The master scolded Swami Yogananda when the latter bought a cracked cooking pot without examining it and sent him back to exchange the pot. Once a disciple paid a price for 6 betel leaves instead of 10, immediately Thakur scolded him, "Don't allow yourself to be cheated in such a way. You must get the right quantity. If you don't need it, if it is extra, distribute it among others, but by no means be cheated." Once Master Mahashay forgot to bring Sri Ramakrishna's umbrella from Panchavati. As soon as he reached the room, Sri Ramakrishna rebuked, saying, "While in ecstasy, it is hard for me to keep the cloth on my body, yet I do not make such a mistake." Since Sri Ramakrishna's whole life was based on dharma, every action of his was perfect. Nowadays, some of us consider dharma to mean an indifference to external matters, but the master could not tolerate this. According to him, such indifference is the result of tamoguna, inertia. He was very particular about several things. Number one, cleanliness and tidiness. Generally, people are unclean. Why? Because of tamoguna, because of laziness. Do not be, another thing is, for spiritual life, internal and external purity, both are equally important. Second, do not be wasteful. Sri Ramakrishna could not bear if people wasted anything. Once at Kasipur, he scolded a devotee who had cut 6 pieces of lemon instead of 1. Sri Ramakrishna did not like it. He even did not like if people wasted food on their plate. And from this, we should also learn that we should not waste water, electricity, etc. And the most important, we should not waste time and energy. Number three, he could not bear people using torn or dirty clothes. He said, "The goddess of fortune leaves a person who wears patched clothes." Fourth, he wanted everything to be put in proper place and handled artistically. When the master came to Shyamakukur from Dakshineshwar for treatment of cancer, he first visited the kitchen storeroom to check on the household supplies. He noticed the earthen pots didn't have coil stands and lids, so he immediately sent somebody to the market to buy those things. The kitchen should also look like a shrine. On one hand, he was in samadhi day and night, forgetting his wearing clothes, and on the other, he was keenly alert about the details of everyday life. Fifth, self-reliance, such as cooking one's own food. According to Sri Ramakrishna, a spiritual aspirant should cook his own food and then eat prasad after offering it to the deity. This will not make him dependent on others, and the most important thing, he would not lose his spiritual excellence. Here, one must bear in mind that self-reliance in all aspects of life is expected. One should never be slave of anyone's words. If somebody praises us, we are on top of the world. If someone criticizes us, we are broken. Hence, we need to be self-reliant in all aspects of life. He used to say, a great worship is going on all the time. Nothing should be neglected. No aspect of our life should be neglected. One should think of God, and during all the activities of life, such as eating, walking, sleeping, moving, talking, one should remember him. This is called true religion. He would often caution the young lads who came to him and ask them to be patient and not to react against certain circumstances, not to be angry, We see one such incident in the life, in the Gospel, May 2, 1883, Wednesday. Sri Ramakrishna is visiting the Brahmo devotees. The worship was over. Most of the devotees went downstairs or to the courtyard for getting some fresh air. While the refreshments were being made, it was about 9 o'clock at night. The host was so engrossed with the other invited guests that they forgot to pay attention to Sri Ramakrishna. So Master Turakal and other devotees, "What's the matter? Nobody is paying any attention to us." And Rakhal got angry. Angrily he said, "Sir, let us leave here and go to Dakshineshwar." Master, with a smile, "Keep quiet. The carriage fare is ₹3 and 2 anas. Who will pay that? Stubbornness won't get us anyway. You haven't a penny in your pocket and you are making empty threats. Besides, where shall we find food at this late hour of night?" After a long time, dinner was announced. The devotees were asked to take their seats. The master, with Rakhal and others, followed the crowd to the second floor. No room could be found for Sri Ramakrishna inside the hall. Finally, with great difficulty, a dusty place was found for him. A Brahmin woman served some curry, but Sri Ramakrishna could not touch it, could not eat it. He ate luchi with salt and took some sweets. Finally, Sri Ramakrishna got into a carriage, but who was to pay the fare? The host could not be found anywhere. Referring to this incident, he later told his devotees jokingly, "The boys went to our host for the carriage fare. First, they were put out, but at last they managed to get together ₹3, but they refused to pay the extra 2 anas. There was no limit to the master's kindness. The host were mere young lads. How could he be displeased with them, even though they did not show him proper respect? Further, it would have been inauspicious for the household if a holy man had left the place without taking food. Finally, the feast, the feast was prepared in the name of God. That is the reason why we see that Sri Ramakrishna showed his compassion. He never appreciated cowardice, because meekness, according to him, does not mean religiousness. He used to say, "Show your manliness. Sometimes it is necessary to scold somebody if he has done something wrong. Otherwise, he may exploit your goodness. Hiss, but don't bite." Once, Master Mahashay M. told Ramakrishna he could not hit a cat even if it stole fish from his plate. He thought Sri Ramakrishna would be very pleased, but he immediately protested and said, "If you push the cat, it won't die." Failure to act is not non-violence. It is tamas, it is inertia. Sri Ramakrishna emphasized the value of prasad in this modern skeptic world. The master used to say, "In this Kali Yuga, the prasad of Jagannath Puri, Ganga, water and the dust of Vrindavan are veritable manifestation of Brahman." Every morning, he used to eat a particle of dried rice, that is Jagannath prasad. One day, he offered a particle to Naren, who refused to eat, saying, "It is unclean dried rice." The master then asked him, "Do you believe in effect of food in the human body? Example, opium causes constipation, whereas trifla has a laxative effect. In the same way, anybody who eats prasad of Jagannath will attain knowledge, devotion and faith." Naren knew that Thakur was truthful and an expert in metaphysical science, and so he quietly accepted it. To the sensate society, materialistic society of today, Sri Ramakrishna, who are running after sense enjoyment, Sri Ramakrishna's advice is, lead a simple life and search for ananda, search for bliss within oneself. He used to say, "My ideal is a Brahmin widow who lives in a cottage, grows her own vegetables, eats simple food and chants God's name all the time." Way before Robert K. Greenleaf, gave the concept of servant leadership to the corporate world, the way before Robert K. Greenfield gave the concept of servant leadership to the corporate world and to the management schools, Sri Ramakrishna had put it or demonstrated it in his own life. What is servant leadership? Servant leadership is a leadership philosophy in which the goal of a leader is to serve so that employees become healthier, wiser, freer, more autonomous, more likely to become servants. Sri Ramakrishna was very humble. Girish Chandra Ghosh says that in this age, Sri Ramakrishna has won everybody by the weapon of humility. Once a young disciple, Latu, used to live with the master at Dakshineshwar and serve him. Once a householder devotee presented a new pair of sandals to the disciple. As he was busy most of the time serving the master, he had no time to wear them. One night, a jackal took one of them. When the master learned about it, he searched around the garden and finally found a sandal after almost an hour. The master returned it to his young disciple. At once, the latter exclaimed, "I am supposed to serve you, not you to me." This is a very good example of servant leadership. According to Vedantic vision of life, it is basically positive, a playground for manifesting the God within despite all odds. And Sri Ramakrishna was a living embodiment of positive energy. His method of teaching was a unique phenomenon. He could transform the so-called worthless into divine beings. Surendranath was one of them. Surendranath was a drunkard before he came to Sri Ramakrishna. He had a habit of drinking and often went to excess. This had worried the master greatly, but he had not asked Suren to give up drinking altogether. He had told him to, "Look, Surendra, whenever you drink, offer it before to the Divine Mother. See that your brain doesn't become clouded and then you don't read. The more you think of Divine Mother, the less you will like to drink." And thus, Surendra became an altogether different person. Sri Ramakrishna has prescribed a unique tonic to remove the stress and strain in this modern world, that is, to laugh at oneself. If we study the depressed patients, we shall find that most of them take life too seriously. A little criticism is not tolerated. A little scolding, a little criticism breaks them. We should remember that all of us have limitations. We should accept our shortcomings and give it a positive turn instead of breaking up. Sri Ramakrishna could not say or could not speak in English. He could only say 4 or 5 English words. He knew his limitation, so he used to joke and laugh at himself and made others laugh too. He used to say, "Truthfulness is the spiritual austerity in the Kali Yuga. Unite the mind and speech. Mana vachan ekadar." People engaged in worldly activities in office, work or some business should follow the path of truth. But as mentioned in the scriptures, satyam vada priyam vada, there is a way of speaking bitter truth. One should master that skill. Inadvertent use of words or language would often result in tremendous misunderstandings and might even offend and hurt others. Let us see one example in the Gospel. It is Tuesday, December 18, 1883. From the temple, the master went to Jadu Malik's house. Jadu was surrounded by his admirers, well-dressed dandies. He welcomed the master. "Master," with a smile, "why do you keep so many clowns and flatterers with you?" Jadu, smiling, "that you may liberate them." Laughter. "Master, flatterers think that the rich man will loosen his purse string for them. But it is very difficult to get anything out of rich man." Once a jackal saw a bullock and would not give up his company. The bullock roamed about and the jackal followed him. The jackal thought, there hang the bullock's testicles. Sometime or other they will drop to the ground and I shall eat them. When the bullock slept in the ground, the jackal lay down too. And when the bullock moved about, the jackal followed him. Many days passed in this way, but the bullock's testicles still clung to his body. The jackal went away disappointed. All laugh. That also happens to flatterers. And finally, the most important teaching, see God with open eyes. Deify the world, divinize the world, there is no other way. We all know that Swami Vivekananda gave the motto, Atmano Mokshartham Jagati Hitaya Cha, bearing this in mind. Let me give you an example. Swami Muktananda, one Bihari Maharaj, used to dress wounds of sick, ailing Narayanas, seeing them as God at the Ramakrishna Mission home of service in Kashi. When he became old, he could not visit Lord Vishwanath early in the morning as he did when he was young, but continued serving the Narayanas in the Sevashram. Someone asked him once whether he had any regrets not being able to visit the Kashi Vishwanath temple. He said, no, I am worshipping living Lord Vishwanath several times a day. When I wash the wounds of the Narayan, I think I am pouring water on Lord Vishwanath. When I apply antiseptic cream on the wound, I think I am applying sandal paste. When I put a ghost pad in the wound, I think I am putting bilva leaf. In this way, I worship the Lord several times during the day to my satisfaction. Now the question is, we are not able to see the Lord in the other person as one Bihari Maharaj. It is not so easy as saying. Swami Vivekananda himself has accepted this. In his lecture, God in Everything, given in London, he says that from childhood, we are told to see God in everything, to see God in everyone. By keeping this in mind, we step out of our house and start walking on the street. Suddenly, someone gives us a big blow from behind. Immediately, we get up, ready to fight. We do not see any God in that person, but a devil. But Swamiji again says that there is no other way. Keep on practicing. Perseverance is the only way. In such a case, let us take another example from the life of one Bihari Maharaj. Initially, the monastic members alone used to serve the Narayans in the home of service in Kashi. And one Bihari Baba, as he was called, used to dress the wounds wholeheartedly, with full dedication, with utmost care, with utmost sincerity. Gradually, he obtained a sort of siddhi, as all the wounds which he dressed would get healed very quickly. Others believe that if one Bihari Baba would simply touch the wounds, it would get healed. With the passage of time, the hospital expanded and there was a need to keep paid employees. However, they were not as dedicated as the monastics. Many times, the monastics tried to instill the idea that there is God in all the Narayans, but to no avail. Once, a Narayan, having severe wounds, deep wounds, was admitted to the hospital. As usual, Ban Bihari Maharaj did everything possible for him with great dedication. However, he noticed that these wounds refused to heal because the aftercare given by the others was not taken care of properly. He then told one of the workers, see, I will tell you a secret. I have not told this to anybody, so you please do the same. After I left home, the condition of my family worsened. They became very poor. My father left home. The Narayan there, which you are seeing, is my father. I have not told this to anybody. He came to Kashi almost as a beggar. Please don't tell to anyone, but please take good care of him. The news, as it usually does, spread through the whole hospital by word of mouth. And the Narayan got the best treatment and was quickly cured. One worker, however, had a doubt. He approached Vanbihari Baba and asked, "Maharaj, I have a doubt whether that Narayan was really your father." At that time, Vanbihari Baba said, "See, I have told you many times to serve the Narayans as a veritable God, but you are not able to do so. So I had to adopt this trick so that you would get the best treatment." So even if we are not able to see others as veritable gods, we can at least try to see God in whom we love the best and gradually expand our heart. May Thakur remove the obstacles from our spiritual path, guide us and protect us, is my earnest prayer at His holy feet. Yeah.